It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Pressure coming on 3rd and 10. Picked up enough to give him time to find George Kittle. Oh, amongst so many bodies, he ripped it away. Touchdown, San Francisco. George Kittle just wanted it more.
Maybe the catch of George Kittle's career. That was one hell of a catch. George Kittle, good to see him back on the football field. The Niners handled their business against the Patriots. 30-13. Look, was it the cleanest game? No. There's a lot to clean up offensively, defensively, special teams once again. But you know what? You needed to get right game. You needed to snap the two-game losing streak. And that's what the 49ers did to improve to 2-2 after the first quarter of the season. Brock, you know, the numbers don't say it. Completion percentage-wise, 15-27. But Brock was really, really, really good. 288 yards, extending plays with his legs, scrambling over and over and over again. The Niners handled their business yesterday at Levi's Stadium as we say good morning to everybody out there. 888-957-9570 is the number. What is your big takeaways? What you like? What you didn't like? Brock's performance, we're going to dive into it all here as we say good morning to everybody out there getting off the graveyard shift. What up, Shasky?
What's up? I look at this and you tell, oh, you know, winning with style points. That's something we kind of talked about last week. Look, the really good teams, what do they get? 12 wins a year? Yep. So you get 12 Mondays, give or take, depending on, you know, Thursday night football and whatnot. 12, you know, days a year where you get to come in and feel really good about your team. Look, I know it wasn't perfect, but they handled business and they did what they needed to do. We can talk about cleaning up the red zone. We can talk about maybe pass protecting a little better for Brock Purdy and Brock Purdy maybe not taking as many hits. But, I mean, the deep ball was just all over the place. That catch by Juwan Jennings was unbelievable.
Special.
Only to be outshined by the George Kittle play. And it brings me right to the red zone. You know, I know that they were a very efficient team the last couple of years with the red zone when you had CMC and you could do a lot of design stuff in the red zone. They have to get that thing cleaned up. That is one area I will listen to coming out of this game is they got to clean up the red zone. And I have some solutions for later on. But you brought up the George Kittle catch. And look, I think the signature play of George Kittle's career is probably the New Orleans play.
4th and 2.
Right? But that was like a yards after the catch, fighting, pushing guys down the line, given the score of the game and where the team was at that moment. It was like an arrival game against an established team. That's the best catch of his career thus far. I mean, maybe you go to the Dallas Cowboy playoff game one because of the magnitude of a fourth quarter catch like that. But Bonte, to high point that ball over those two guys and then get his feet down, I thought that was a hell of a catch by George Kittle.
It was his best catch of his career. There's no doubt in my mind, and they needed that. Look, there's a lot going on with the 49ers in terms of trying to get everybody in sync and trying to get everybody on the football field. The positives, Debo played. George Kittle played. So Debo, who we thought was going to miss a couple games, misses the one game against the L.A. Rams. And there was no, you didn't see anything about the calf yesterday. Ran the D route, the go route there. Brock Purdy hits him. I would have liked to lead him just a little bit, but I'm nitpicking. But Debo makes a big play. Purdy was stretching the field deep there. So he's back on the field. Trent Williams didn't miss action. He was back on the football field. Now, there is a concern with Fred Warner. And like, you know, I'm not the worrier of the show, but when Fred says, I just couldn't go in the second half, ankle, and I'm looking at Arizona coming in next week, who got rolled yesterday by Washington, and I think they borderline gave up, but they're going to be a desperate team next Sunday coming into Levi's Stadium. Something to monitor. If this team doesn't have Fred Warner in the middle of that defense, I'm highly concerned because Devondre Campbell.
Of course.
Fred Warner's, and that's the thing. He makes an all-world play once again to get the pick six. He bumps a guy, and then reroutes the guy on the drag route, reroutes him, still plays his zone, follows the quarterback's eyes, comes up with the interception, takes it back to the house. Fred Warner, what an unbelievable play. You know, it brought me back to Patrick Willis having a pick six against the St. Louis Rams back at Candlestick Park when they beat up on the Rams 35-0. That was when Singletary was mic'd up or whatnot. But the way Fred Warner plays, and they may miss some more pass coverage if he does miss action. We don't know anything yet, but boy, what a play by Fred.
I thought that Charvarius Ward hustled his tail off to come down and help out, I think it was Jair Brown, block on Jacoby Brissett so they can get that touchdown. Because at that point in the game, it's 6-0 and you're dominating the game. And it felt so similar to the week before where you're like, how can I look up at the score where we've had the ball the whole time? And if you punch in one of those two field goal opportunities from earlier in the game, it's just a total different feel. And I'm thinking, ah, they're hanging around. You're letting the New England Patriots hang around. You can't do this. You got to punch one in and leave it to Fred Warner to kind of like disguise where he was in the zone, jump up and make an unbelievably athletic play. Your point about him being healthy is well taken. They're going nowhere without Fred Warner. Nowhere. Everyone agrees. But this next 4 weeks, you got Arizona, short week Seattle, and then, you know, Cowboys, Chiefs, like all within a stretch. This is, to me, the ultimate litmus test over the next couple weeks for the 49ers. And yes, they need Fred Warner right. Yeah, so no doubt. If he's got to miss a game, it sucks. But like, I got to think long term here.
Well, not only that, but you know, the way he rerouted that wide receiver on his drag route, rerouted him to have the wherewithal to reroute him, get back into his zone, and then still follow the eyes of Jacoby Brissett and pick that play off. I just thought it was a Hall of Fame type of play. But moving forward, you know, playing Seattle and playing Arizona with Kyler Murray and James Conner. Then you got Seattle. We'll watch Seattle tonight because I don't know if that 3-0 is real up there in Seattle. We shall see what they do tonight against Detroit in a monster game, because if they lose, the Niners are just one game back of them in the NFC West. You're back in the division race. But you want all-pro Fred there because, you know, the Chiefs, look, they're beat up right now. Kansas City, we'll get to them later in the week, but losing Rashee Rice is massive.
Yeah.
They really don't have Pacheco. They don't have Hollywood Brown. That's a massive, massive, massive blow to the Kansas City Chiefs, but they still have Superman and Patrick Mahomes, so they should be fine there, but Baltimore's looking good. But anyway, Fred's got to get right with the ankle. Overall, I thought the DBs played very, very well. Amador Lenore is just blanketing everybody. Everybody. But on the flip side, isn't a part of you. We're going to take all the calls, and we're all feeling good. You look at the other side, and the Niners were there in 2017, where the Patriots are. That's a bad, bad, bad football team.
No doubt.
And so that get-right game came at the right time for the San Francisco 49ers.
Look,
they made coaching decisions yesterday, and I was like, boy, they don't. Or what are they doing? Like, Jeremiah, I get it. But there's some, even Greg Olsen's on the broadcast, public, like out loud saying, I just don't get what they're doing.
Well, there's a few fourth and ones that they let the clock go all the way down. They took the 5 yards back. I don't know. Look, Jacoby Brissett got blasted yesterday. You know, we haven't even brought him. I thought Bosa in the fourth quarter, and I know it's a blowout game against a not good team. They showed a graphic. They had like four different left tackles over the last 4 weeks. But that's what I've been asking for, and I think we've all been asking for. And this how do you pronounce his name? Number 91. Okawanu?
Yeah.
Is it Okawanu?
Okawanu.
I'm not here to say that this guy's the next coming. That's not what I'm saying.
Samuel Okawanu.
What a great story. This guy's in the locker room afterwards, number 91. He had the strip on Stevenson, and then he was pressuring the quarterback. He made plays last week. This is a team that is dying for someone to step up and make a play. And this guy coming out of nowhere. And then in the postgame, Nick Bosa goes, he's been asking me a lot of questions. And now that I'm a leader on the team, I really like explaining things to someone like him. He's telling the story. And I told the boys to pull the sound. He was 12 years old when he came to this country. Yep. And him and his mom left a Civil War riddled stricken state that they were in overseas. And he had never played football until he was about 14 years old, give or take. And he's still learning the game. And this is a guy that clearly has size, speed, power, and aggression, and has a knack for making plays. And on a team that desperately needs defensive linemen, where Jordan Elliott leaves the game after I thought he had a nice little start to the game.
Right.
91, let's go, baby. Let's go.
Okawanu, here's what he said after the game.
And getting cut and being here and just kind of grinding my way through the rotation. But I love it all, man, because at the end of the day, it makes a great story, man. And I'm the guy who kind of pride himself on facing things hard on and just head on and just, you know, attacking the adversity, man, because come out the other side.
I always knew what he had in his body. And he came in last year late. And then you see him in camp. He had a really strong camp. And then he had an injury, I think a hamstring or something. So it kind of set him back. And, I mean, he probably played no more than 15 plays and probably affected 10 of them. So to have a guy like that, to give some of our starters a rest and make an impact like that, it's huge for us.
Quick trigger there on the buttons, but that was Nick Bosa when he was asked about Okwadu, and this guy's going to get reps. He's going to get a lot of reps on this defensive line that doesn't have Javon Hargrave, and we'll see about Jordan Elliott. So Okwadu stepped right up in the latest reclamation project for Chris Kocurek. We had a call, I think it was BPA, talking about Chris Kocurek in the defensive line and whether or not he's had a good year or bad two-year stretch as a defensive line coach. Look, Okwadu looks like the part, and this is what Kocurek does. He knows how to develop defensive linemen, so they need him. Like, they don't need the flash plays. They need this guy.
Well, and I thought that Leonard Floyd played a really good game yesterday. Yeah. I thought that the stat sheet might not show it or reflect it. You know, Bosa's effort level, Malik Collins, I thought was in the backfield over and over again. This guy Anderson wearing the Guardian cap I'd never heard of. Look, I don't want to get too ahead of myself, because to your point, New England's not a great team, and that's putting it lightly. But I needed the defensive line to show up. And in a game where Fred Warner left in the second half, you know, I thought that the defensive line showed out in the late third quarter, early fourth quarter, as they should with a two-touchdown lead. But that's what you're looking for.
You know, the drive of the game for me is when New England came down and made it a game, because special teams was a special right at a halftime, right? Isaac Garrido runs it to a teammate on a kickoff return, fumbles the ball. I mean, it's just like special teams. Jeez, right out of the halftime.
What was
right
that?
Out of halftime.
I came out of the bathroom and I go, what happened?
Right out of halftime, right?
I couldn't believe it.
So you fumble a kickoff right away. Who did he run into? Was it Sobert there?
Sobert.
So he runs right into him.
And he was like holding it in his right hand. I don't even get it.
So the Patriots get a short field. They score a touchdown. It's all of a sudden 20-10. And look, did I feel like the Niners were in a position to blow this game? No. But you don't want to give a team life. You don't want to give them confidence. So what are you going to do on that next drive? When they go four plays, 70 yards. Boom, 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 boom. Deebo 53.
That was a
Jordan
time.
Mason with a nice little run. Jordan Mason with some nice hands. By the way, the Jugs machine is helping Jordan Mason. He looks like he knows how to catch a football very, very well. Next three plays go to Jordan Mason. He scores. It's 27-10. Order's restored. You're back in control. So to me, that was the key drive. Right away, first play, first and 10 at the 30-yard line. Purdy said, I'm letting this baby fly. And he let it fly, and Deebo catches it, 53 yards, and the rest is history.
Yeah, that was a great throw. I thought he had a couple throws to Jennings. One was over the top.
Yep.
Jennings like slowed down and used his back to catch it. The DB was all over him. It was just a perfect throw. Mm-hmm. But to me, the play that you're talking about when it comes to Jugs machines, it was the one that got called back. It was 13-0. They're on this like long drive where it felt like they scored five touchdowns, and they were all called back because of illegal formations
The George Kittle hold was crap. Well, that was a bad call.
On that play, Jordan Mason made such a great catch over the middle where he snagged it and kept running. And I'm thinking, to your point, you said it last week, like, hey, that investment into the Jugs machine, what a great investment for Jordan Mason. He made a hell of a catch there.
Well, he's starting to earn the trust of Brock Purdy on these shutdowns, because it's checkdowns are wide open, because look, we'll get to Brandon Ayuk, we'll get to George Kittle, we'll get to Deebo. They put so much pressure on the defense. Juwan Jennings is starting to do that as well. That all of a sudden, that checkdown stuff underneath where Christian McCaffrey thrived over and over in this offense, it's right there for Jordan Mason. I just think maybe in the Minnesota game, there was maybe a lack of trust for Jordan Mason on the checkdowns, because there were some checkdowns open against Brian Flores' defense. By the way, Minnesota 4-0, looking good. But Jordan Mason now making himself available for these checkdowns, and he looks good, man, catching the ball with straight hands, with the diamond technique. He looks really, really solid, and that investment has been paid off. So, look, Brock looked good. And another thought I had with Brock, and we're not going to get into it long term, but, you know, everybody makes such a big deal about when he gets paid, you're going to have to say goodbye to so many guys. Number one, I'm not so sure about that. And number two, I'm good either way, because Brock is showing that he's a guy you could build around.
Totally.
Franchise guy, he looks the part. Whether it's last week against the Rams, whether it's this week against the Patriots, if he gets his full complement of weapons, Brock is a very elite quarterback. He's elite. He's a top five guy. So whether he gets paid, he's starting to get to the point where he's in his third year, he could elevate guys around him.
Well,
that's the next step.
Run the right route and be where you're supposed to be, and he's going to hit you, right? I mean, that's kind of what he's proven. He made a couple of plays with his legs on third down to extend drives early in the game that were just brilliant.
First drive of the game.
There was Like, if I'm going to nitpick, because I think he's a really good player right now, there's one area. Every now and then, when he's scrambling around and the play is dead, just throw it away, young man. Save yourself the ability so you don't get hit. Because I think we all agree, he goes down, we're done. Right? He goes down, we're done.
Yeah.
And so the protection wasn't great yesterday against a pretty subpar, New England front that doesn't have a lot of star recognition. No. I mean, they traded their best player to Atlanta.
Matthew Judon.
He's just got to, again, if I'm just nitpicking a little, I love Brock. I love the way he runs around. Every now and then, just live to see another down. And I would say that about all the great players. I mean, Josh Allen, I think, takes too many hits outside of the pocket.
Yep.
And he's 6'6", 230. So that's my only little nitpick. That's really it. And the red zone interception, I think he's had another one against Cincinnati where he was rolling right.
He had one. That was the one.
I thought he forced that.
One against Cincinnati was right at the end of the third quarter last season.
Was that in the red zone?
No. Yes, it was in the red zone. And then Geronimo Pratt, I believe, picked it off. And then, the next play, he had back-to-back throws in that football game against Cincinnati where he threw picks. That one,
gotcha.
He forced it at the end of the third quarter. So that was... That was inside the 15, I believe, if I recall correctly.
I couldn't remember another red zone turnover. I thought he was a little late with it, and then he threw it up, and it was double coverage. Not the greatest play. I love that the guy goes for the gusto. Again, these are small criticisms of what I think is just a really good player in Brock Purdy. He's been outstanding, and seeing him run early in the game, you referenced, I got one, two, three. I mean, like three different times on third down in the first half, he's running for first downs when there's nothing there. How about the play where he goes, hey, George Kittle, come on over on whatever, third and nine or whatever it was.
Yep.
And Kittle stops his route, comes over. I would have thrown the challenge. Like, they ended up only getting a field goal anyway. But that was a great play by Purdy on a rollout play.
Yeah, the first drive of the game where they go down the field. And I know they had to settle for three. We'll get to the red zone. The red zone inefficiencies, because right now that's a problem. Last year they were really good in the red zone. But he made two scramble plays on that third down where he had to have it. Using his legs a little bit more, that's a next evolution in this offense, and that's what makes this offense. It takes it to another level. You see Josh Allen, you see Lamar, you see all these guys, Patrick Mahomes. When you can extend plays in this league and make accurate throws, that puts you on another. That puts you in another stratosphere. So right now, Brock Purdy's playing on another level. Right now, he's Brock Purdy, Fred Warner, probably your most consistent 49ers right now, alongside Jordan Mason, who had another big-time game. So we'll talk more about him.
Jordan Mason.
888-957-9570 is the number. Shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call it to the roast, better bring it, because if you don't, you will be flush. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. It is a Victory Monday here on the Morning Roast. We'll talk all about it here. Brought to you by Frontier Ford. The end of summer sales event is on at Frontier Ford on Stevens Creek, in Santa Clara. Now's the time to get a great deal on a new four-car truck or SUV. So stop by or visit FrontierFord.com for incredible savings and drive away in your dream Ford at Frontier Ford or FrontierFord.com. I'm optimistic like BPA.